Good morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day to our fathers, our grandfathers, great-grandfathers. We honor you today, who you are in our lives as a church family, who you are in your family's lives, the way that you represent the goodness of God to those who God has entrusted you with. Happy, happy Father's Day. Of course, on Father's Day, as we think about the men in our lives who have really served as protectors and guides and sources of wisdom and trust and provision, our hearts cannot help but turn to our Father God in worship and gratitude. It is His fatherhood of us that our earthly fathers get to try to imitate. And it's by His grace that we have been gifted with the men in our church in the roles you play in mentoring your own children, but also all of the people that make up BCC. And so we honor you and we thank you today and pray that your hearts will be lifted in this place as you pour out to those in your home and in our community. As we prepare to worship, I want to have our opening prayer be for our fathers and to our Father. And so we hear these words from Psalm 103. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. Would you pray with me? Oh God, you are a good, good father. We thank you that you are a father full of compassion, full of kindness, full of wisdom, full of grace. As our father, you are our great protector. You've always got our backs. You're our great provider. You own the cattle on a thousand hills, and you're happy to do what needs to be done to care for us. You are our father of wisdom. You are the source of all truth, and you lead us in the way of understanding. You are the father who gives us a fresh start a million times over. Doesn't count our wrongs and keep record of them and hold them against us. But you are quick to forgive, quick to show mercy, quick to show grace. It is in your kindness that we see how strong you are. It is in your love that we see how powerful you are. And so, God, as we lift up our hearts today, we do so knowing that we have a good Father who receives our worship gladly. And God, we are grateful for the men in our midst, the many men who make up Belfair Community Church, those who are new dads and those who are great-granddads, those who are pouring into this generation of young people growing up, and those who are praying over their children and their grandchildren, even as they don't live in the same house anymore. They still serve them as mentors and as friends, as guides. Father, we offer up these men into your hands. We ask that you would be their strength, that you would be their peace, that you would be their hope and their joy and their wisdom as they continue to share that in their homes, in our church, in our community, and across the globe. Bless them, O God of every good and perfect gift, as they bless us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 14. Continuing on in our Hello, My Name Is series. Today, Hello, My Name Is Air. Air, H-E-I-R, not oxygen air. Hello, my name is Air. Romans 8, verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him, so we may also be glorified with him. Would you pray with me? Father God, now as we turn to your word, we pray that your spirit would move freely in our hearts, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be, so you might help us do whatever it is you want us, your heirs, to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you ever dream about checking your mail and finding a check from that long-lost uncle that you never knew you had? An inheritance you never saw coming. $1 million, just like that. What would you do? How would it change your life today, every day? I want to share with you just a few inheritance stories. They'll probably make you a little jealous. Luis de Camara, a wealthy Portuguese man, had no family to his name. And so 10 years before he died, he went to his lawyer's office. He brought with him a phone book. He opened it up and randomly pointed to 70 names and said, "These will be my heirs." And so these 70 people, this is true, one day they're all standing in their homes, get that knock on the door, and there's somebody with a check for them for multi-thousand dollars written from some guy they never even heard of. There, is this a scam? No, no, you were chosen from the phone book. Can you imagine? Some people actually have that rich uncle that we all dream of. Sergei Sudov was left $1 billion by an uncle he only met once, and it had been 10 years prior. He had almost forgotten about this uncle and then found out he was his sole heir. He lived in Moldova, a country where the average person lives on $300 a month. And all of a sudden, Sergei was a billionaire because of his rich uncle that he didn't even really know he had. New York real estate billionaire Leona Helmsley, get this, has left $12 million to her dog named Trouble. This pooch gets more money than most of her actual living human relatives. Two of her four grandkids don't even make it into her will at all, but Trouble gets $12 million. And her brother, who's Trouble's caretaker, gets $10 million to help care for Trouble. Imagine that. We can only really dream about standing in the shoes of those lucky phone book selections, or of Sergei Sudov, or of Trouble, the happy poodle. We can only dream of those people who seem to do next to nothing, and then they get this gift that changes everything. Because if we're honest, most of us just don't really come from a whole lot of wealth. And when those before us pass on, odds are we've got an overflowing garage full of junk to clear out, more than a crisp check with our names on it. So the best we can do, it seems, is live vicariously through these folks with rich uncles and through these poodles with rich owners. Or is that really the best that we can do? This Father's Day, we reflect on our Heavenly Father, who has given us all that is good through Jesus Christ, His Son, our Savior, and even our brother. See, Romans 8 gives this promise: all who are led by the Spirit are children of God. We have been adopted. When we cry out, "Abba," that's Daddy. Father, that is the Spirit in us bearing witness that we are indeed His children. And it says, and if children, then heirs of God. And if heirs of God, then joint heirs with Christ. He is our brother. And so I ask this morning, are you led by the Spirit? Is your life's genuine prayer, "Not my will, but yours be done, O Lord"? If so, then God is your Father, and you are His child, and if his child, then you are an heir. Have you called God Father recently? Without even really questioning if you were okay referring to him so casually. If so, that is this very spirit inside of you that is allowing you to say, Father, Father, I need you. I'm calling on you, my dad. That you can call on him and not have to question the appropriateness of it all. That is the spirit in you affirming that that is who he really is, your father. And that's who you really are, his child. And if his child, then an heir. And so as children of the living God, we are heirs to every good gift that our Father wants to give us. And when we finally get our hearts around that, then all of a sudden those checks for Sergei Sudov and Trouble the Dog, they don't really faze us so much at all. We come to this place where we say, you know, they can have their millions. I will take my inheritance from my Father God. And so what is that inheritance exactly? As co-heirs with Christ, Jesus says that what the Father is giving him, he is gladly and freely giving to us. So what's that? Several chapters in John, Jesus walks through those things one at a time. John 14, Jesus says that he is going to be with the Father. And he is preparing a place for us, and so that where he goes, we can go too. Heirs. That means we have a place, an eternal home, more beautiful than any resort we have ever set our eyes on, because the glory of God fills every square inch of that place. Christ has his place by the Father in heaven, and he says we have a place there too. Says, this isn't it. This home right here, so temporary, he says. Your gift of a place with the living God is eternal. And I don't know about you, but I'll take that over $1 million in my mailbox any day. A home with our Father, it's yours because you are his heirs. This inheritance, it's more than just what's yours when you get to heaven one day. That's the greatest part of it for sure. But there's all kinds of things that you get to enjoy as his heirs here and now. And so we ask, what else does our co-heir Christ have from our Father that we get to enjoy too? That we get to enjoy now, here. In John 15, it's joy. Jesus says, I've said all these things to you so that my joy may be in you and so that your joy may be complete. One of my very favorite paintings of Jesus is that one where he's got his head tilted back and he's just laughing. You know, I think that that's a picture of Jesus that's so real that we forget so easily. Jesus walked with joy. And that's not because his life was all roses, right? We know his life. His friends ditched him. He had plenty of lonely nights and weary days. He knew rejection. He knew hunger. He knew death. And yet Hebrews says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Joy and the cross. How can those two be in the same sentence? You see, even on his darkest days, Jesus knew joy. And that's because Jesus had this gift from the Father of always seeing the big picture. He could see life and he could see hope around every corner. Pain couldn't steal his joy. And he looks at his children and he says, my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. Heirs. That means you get full access to that joy, that complete joy, every single day. I don't know about you, but I have met one too many miserable millionaires. Given a choice, I'll take joy as my inheritance any day. You don't need millions when you've got joy. We are heirs of the best gifts, all of us. Let's claim our inheritance. What else does Christ have that we get too? According to John 16, the very next chapter, it's peace. He says to his disciples, I'm saying this to you, so in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have trouble, but take heart, he says, I have overcome the world. The peace of Christ, given to the Son by his Father, is now given to us just the same. In many churches, people have a practice of passing the peace. What that means is before COVID-19, they would turn to each other, they would shake hands, and they would say, the peace of Christ be with you. And the other person in response would say, and also with you. And what they're claiming in that space is no matter what waits for you outside of those doors when you leave worship, whether it's a doctor's message or a broken relationship or a world on fire, remember what you've got in you. It is the peace of Christ. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble, but take courage. I have overcome the world. And so you, my co-heirs, you are overcomers too. That means the trials in our lives, they don't get the last word, and they don't get to control our hearts. My peace, I leave with you, my heirs. In my role as a pastor, I spend more hours than perhaps the average person sitting next to someone who is living in their last days, their last moments. I spend more hours by a bedside of someone transitioning from life here on earth to that eternal home than I can possibly count. And I was leaving a situation not that long ago, and I was talking to a friend and told him where I'd been, and they asked how I was doing. And I said, you know, to be honest, I'm okay. I said, I had this overwhelming sense of peace while I was there, and even now, almost as if I heard God whisper and say, Jamie, it's all going to be okay. That veil between heaven and earth is so thin, and if you could just get a glimpse of how beautiful it is, what's waiting for you, you would know it's just going to be okay. I heard that whisper of that ancient prayer, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be made well. And I said, I'm at peace to let another go and be with their father. And I said, but I'm thinking about my own life too, and if I got the news tomorrow that my life was going to be short, I said, I think I'm okay. I have this overwhelming peace that all shall be well. My Father has given me the peace that he has given his Son. We are heirs of peace. We can claim our inheritance, my brothers and sisters. The peace of Christ be with you. All right, Mitch was listening. That's when you get to say, and also with you. What else is our inheritance this side of heaven? The very next chapter, John 17. If you get bored this week, just go read John 14, 15, 16, and 17. And let Jesus tell you all the things that he's pouring into your life. It'll just stir your heart and you'll be happy. John 17, Jesus is praying for us. And here are some of the things he asks. He says, I ask you, Father, protect them from the evil one. Now, that doesn't mean that we're never going to see evil. Jesus faced his fair share of evil on this earth, did he not? But that evil, though it hurt him, it never caused him to walk away from his relationship with his Father and his calling on this earth. And he prays the exact same thing for us. He doesn't say, Father, keep them away from everything that could ever hurt them. He says, protect them from evil. We don't need protection if we're not going to be in the midst of it sometimes. He says, Father, protect them so they will know that that evil never need have power over them. Let them know that as my heirs, they will always have at their disposal the strength of Christ in them to flee from evil, to resist what's destructive, to choose faithfulness. We don't have to push that button on the screen. We don't have to look at that. We don't have to say that. We always have power because of Christ in us to choose life. We have inherited protection from evil, from our all-powerful, holy God. Let us claim our inheritance this day. And then Jesus prays for our purpose. Still in chapter 17, he says, God, as you've sent me, I'm sending them. We have inherited a calling to be sent ones, revealing the love of God in every pocket of this world. Our inheritance is that we now have a kingdom purpose that gives direction to every part of our lives. Heirs of Jesus, brothers and sisters of the Savior of the world, we have a calling to share his salvation power too. Let's claim that inheritance. Let's jump into that call. And then Jesus prays in verse 21, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, let them be in us. You see, heirs can be as close to the Father as Jesus is. Let that sink in for a moment. Heirs can be as close to the Father God as Jesus is. Our Father wants nothing more than to be as intimate with us as he is with Christ. Do you believe that? Our Father, he wants to talk to us and us to him. He wants to walk with us and us with him. He wants to celebrate with us and us with him. He wants to grieve with us and us with him. He wants to know the deepest parts of our hearts. And us know his. It's Jesus' prayer for us that we would know the Father as well as he does. It's our inheritance. And if we don't feel like we're even tipping the iceberg on this, it's not because it's inaccessible. It's simply because we haven't yet claimed our full inheritance, this side of heaven. This Father's Day, what better thing could we do than desire to move into deeper intimacy with our Father? Because that's what he wants most of all. Our hearts from us, his heirs. Amen. It's okay, it's just toddlers. Jesus tells a story in Luke about a wealthy father who has two sons who have equally misguided responses to their great inheritance. One demanded that he get it early, and upon receiving it, he ditched his father and moved far away and wasted it. The second son never leaves, but he mopes and complains when that wayward brother comes home and gets a party. He sits outside while everybody else is dancing, and the father comes out to ask him what's wrong, and the son complains about how he's never gotten such special treatment, even though he did all the right things. And the father's confused, and he says, my son, you've always been with me, and all that I have has always been yours. Says, I've never kept any of my goodness from you. Why didn't you take and enjoy what's always been right there for you? Heirs, you have a great inheritance from a really good father. What not to do with it? Don't just take it and run. Using it up, enjoying the gifts of the Father without any care of relationship with him. It turns out our God is not a vending machine. but he is the living God who wants our hearts most of all. His inheritance for you, he wants to actually share it with you so we can use it to honor him and to enjoy him and to stir up some things that you just know are going to bless him because he's your Father. And that's how you desire to use his gifts in relationship with him. What else not to do with it? Don't refuse it. Don't put off receiving what the Father has made readily available to you because you just don't feel worthy, or you just don't want the responsibility, or you just kind of prefer moping to celebrating. Just kind of your MO. You are a child of the living God. Jesus has made his heart in your home. All that he has is already yours for the taking. Joy for today, peace for today, protection for today, purpose for today, intimacy with the Father God for today. Don't mope on the front porch. Who has time for that? Accept what by grace Jesus has given you to take freely. It is yours to enjoy today. You honor your Father when you gladly receive what he has paid the ultimate price to give you. And then go and make the most of it. Heirs, it's Father's Day. May our lives honor the God who calls us his own and gave us his all. And may we call him our own and give him our all. In return, let's claim our inheritance. Would you pray with me? Father God, you're too good to us. And sometimes we think it's the humble thing to do to push away your goodness because we feel like we're just not worthy. And you try to tell us the price has already been paid. Can you just receive it and accept it and enjoy it and live into it? And so, Father, today we open our hands, we open our hearts, we open our lives to receive what only by your grace you've given us. Joy and peace and protection and purpose and intimacy with you. Thank you, oh God. Happy Father's Day to the best Father we would ever know. Be glorified in us as we receive our inheritance, we pray. Amen.